Good afternoon. Hello. Hey, this is Maria Vasquez Boyd, your friend every Wednesday. I'm your friend every day, I guess. I'm here at the 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio Station. This is Art Speak Radio, and we're so glad to bring a bevy of guests to you for your ears, for your listening pleasure every week. So thank you so much for making us, you know, a part of your day, a part of your afternoon. You know, today I have a panel, a wonderful panel of artists, writers, performers, musicians who are here in the studio that we're going to spend a whole hour talking about art. And, you know, the creation and inspiration and all that. And you'll get to know each and every one of them, but we're going to have a discussion with Waco Porter, who's a writer and a poet. Robert Castillo, who is an artist, a musician. Baltimar Rivas, who is an illustrator, painter, muralist. And of course, Stacy Bush, who's a performer. And, she's also, is a collaborator, collaborating with a choreographer and dancer for her next project. So we're going to hear from each and every one of our wonderful guests today. I want to start off, first of all, by dedicating this program to our beloved friend Eric Swanstu. And if you don't know who he is, you've really missed out on a really beautiful, beautiful soul who was very, active in the arts, in the art scenes here in Kansas City. He went to the Art Institute, and he was very, very active, along with his brother and his sister, here in the Kansas City art scene. And of course, they were all over the world. Just, you know, he was making art. He was a motorcycle enthusiast. He died last week suddenly, and we're all sort of in shock and in grief to have lost this beautiful soul. So we want to dedicate this show to our beautiful friend, Eric Swanstu, who forever will be in our hearts. I'm going to play a little song to transition and reflect, and then we're going to get back with Art Speak Radio. Stay tuned. And that's in memory of our beautiful friend, Eric Swanstu, and his family, his children, his wife. Rest in peace, my friend. We have in the studio today, as I mentioned, we have Waco Porter, Robert Castillo, Baltimar Rivas, and Stacy Bush. But we're going to start off with Waco Porter. He's been in the studio before. Well, actually, he was in last year and spoke with us here on Art Speak Radio. He's lived in the Kansas City area for 20 years. He was born in Galveston, Texas. Now, you can correct me if any of this needs to be updated, Waco.
You know, I was wrong. I wasn't. My mother corrected me. I wasn't born in Galveston. I was born in Texas City. And so, but they're right next to each other, so it's...
You're a Texan.
I'm a Texan,
Texan,
yeah.
Born, okay.
Yes.
Also served in the military and traveled widely. Kansas City is your home now, and you recently published your first book of poetry, Totally Eclipsed. Waco also enjoys writing short stories, working out, and hanging out with his wife, three daughters, and family dog. He serves as board vice president of Jumpstart Art KC.
Yes.
Also in school, pursuing a new career in the field of physical therapy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Terrific. So we're glad to have you back, my friend.
Thank you, Maurice. Good to be here.
Yeah, I think it was like maybe mid-year since you were here, no?
Yeah, it's about that time. I had shorts on. I remember that.
Well, and actually, I think you were here, too, because you had a reading, a poetry reading at the writer's place.
Yeah, that's
so
where
that
we
was
met.
Shortly after that. Yeah. So catch us up on what's happening with you. What or new readings, new releases? What's going on?
Well, I'm still writing. That's just a constant thing.
Yeah, that's good.
So hopefully two books will come of that. One more like a pocket book and one more like a book like Total Eclipse was.
Yeah.
I'm still in school, getting down to the last semester. And so, but just write constantly and school to school until it's done.
So this is your actually last done final semester?
Well, it's a physical therapist assistant program.
And okay,
so
okay.
We have half a semester, so we go to spring break. Then I have two clinicals, and then it's the school academic part is done. Then it's board exams and such.
You know, I do want to ask you because, you know, you do have family and school and all that. Mm. Do you make time to write, to sit down and just go, okay, I've got 20 minutes, I'm going to write? Or how does your work process? Work.
I like tiny notebooks.
Yeah.
The kind of, I used to carry the composition books, uh-huh. You know, the big ones.
Yeah, I like those.
And so I did like those, and then I realized I can't put it in my pocket. And so someone introduced me to tiny notebooks, and I've, ever since then, I keep one. So if I have pockets, there's a notebook in it, and I usually have a pen on me. If not, I'll borrow it from the waitress or somebody.
I like that.
And so, and I keep them in my car, so it's at any point in time, I can, if something hits me to go, I can go, or you just sit down and write. I like the mantra of, even if you can't create, you can still write, right? So you just read over stuff constantly and tweak and edit and so forth. So it's a constant thing.
Well, do you use a voice recorder, like on your phone, or carry one with you just for those times when, you just like...
I did that.
Got nothing.
And I recorded myself, and it was the whole thing, and then I just hated the sound of my voice.
That's interesting.
And so I was like, I'm not doing that again. And so, but I remember this brother like years ago. And so before he read his piece, it was the setup I remember. Mm-hmm. And he said he was driving home. Mm-hmm. We were in Columbia at the time, and he was driving to St. Louis back home. And he was like, he just pulled over to the side of the road and he wrote it out. And the poem, you know, I don't remember the poem itself, but the title was, you know, I ain't got no mother but God, but my mama, she got a baby's daddy. And so I remember that forever, just the setup, the title, and it just, it's a reminder for me, like, just whenever, wherever.
Yeah. Now, I noticed you brought some work in today that you're going to share with us, right?
Yes, if you'd like to hear.
Yeah, I would love to,
Okay.
Go for it, kid.
This first one is Lavender, and this came from... was sitting in church. My wife had a purple sundress on, and so this is what came from that. Black girls in lavender sundresses have gardens and children. These black girls also have good men. These men kneel and push their newborn sons and daughters' fingers into the soil, digging, turning, planting roses. He only stands to prune trees that provide unnecessary shade. The kneeling man talks to his children about the importance of sunlight and water for things to grow. He checks the garden with his family often, pulling weeds, describing the scent of roses. When his daughter pricks her finger on a thorn, he kisses the pain, lets her run to her mother, but warns his children that beautiful things have to protect themselves from curious invasions. He always works on his knees in the garden, close to the soil, eye level to his children. An arm's reach of black girls in lavender sundresses. He is close enough to the soil that subtle breezes form dust clouds he inhales with delight. He is eye level to his children so he can speak and teach and touch and listen without effort. He is an arm's reach of black girls in lavender sundresses, a woman he knows by the impression of her feet in the soil, the braids that dance in autumn winds, the palms that wipe his forehead. On this day, he stops his work. Turns his body and lays on his back for a moment. He asks anybody if this is what Eden should have been. He watches the sundress fly away. He hears the faint thud of diapers hitting the ground and the giggles of innocence. He feels a tug at his trousers. The wind stirs. He smells roses and tastes soil, lavender.
Wow, I love that. I really love that. That's beautiful. It really touches on so many senses, you know. Wow. And so you actually got the inspiration sitting in...
I was sitting in church. And they were just singing. And she just stood up and started clapping to the music. And so I just saw her in the purple sundress. It was a purple sundress.
I love that.
And so, and it just... And that's just kind of how things come. It's just... You just see something... And then just let the words fall into place and tweak them till that image is constantly relived in my mind.
Do you find that your mind is constantly flowing and searching for images and words and ideas, or are you able to sort of kind of rein that in?
It works both ways. Sometimes I know I need to get out of the house, and so. You can sit in the house and I can edit, you know, or I have many conversations with myself about memories and talk myself through those things. And sometimes that brings something about, but sometimes it's, I need to go to the museum and see my favorite painting.
You know,
or I just need to get on the bus and ride around the city or get on my skateboard and skate around the city, mm-hmm. and then just take all that in, mm-hmm. and then. But it's pretty. Even though I do those things, it's still organic the way it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. You know. If you've just tuned into Art Speak Radio, I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. I'm talking to Waco Porter, who's a poet and writer, family man and student. Yeah. And, you know, we love that you're here. And do you have some upcoming events that you would like to share with us? Or
I don't have any upcoming events.
Yeah. It's still early in the new year, you know.
Well, yeah, I go to writing groups and open mics. And then that's usually where I read. And my stuff, and so
you know, and that's a great thing to begin to get involved in when you want to hear some feedback on your work or just to hear it aloud in a space, you know, it's really helpful.
Yeah, sometimes it's just a matter of because sometimes you walk around the house when there's no one there and read it out loud, and then that's how it sounds to me, and then but to go in front of an audience. And read it out loud. And sometimes I'll say that before I even start reading. It's like, I just want to see how this sounds out loud.
Yeah.
You know, and then maybe see if what I'm feeling about it is reflected maybe in one, it could just be one person and so forth. Mm-hmm. Some kind of feedback. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes if I ask for feedback, I could get feedback.
Nice.
You know, but most of the time it's just I'll read it. And then if it seems like it falls flat, it's like, do I need to rework it?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
and it's just a feeling of like it fell flat.
Yeah. But not a fan of recording yourself reading it.
In the voice recording, that's not my friend. And you sound nice on the radio. I've heard you sound very nice.
Oh, bless your heart.
You know,
it's
your voice
cigarettes.
Is very soothing. And
it's all cigarettes
hear,
and whiskey.
Right. And when mine is like, it's not your thing, Waco.
It's crazy. Yeah. You know, you'll listen to this podcast, you'll think differently. Trust me.
Okay.
You know, we're going to take a real quick break right now, and then we're going to introduce Robert Castillo, who is here in the studio. You know, we're going to open this up once we've met everyone here on the panel today. Panel, I don't like calling that a panel, but everyone here in the studio today. And then we're just going to have an open discussion about art because, you know, there's so many different disciplines sitting right across this board from me. So, we'll be right back after this. I just gave this crew of guests here a pop quiz, and, you know, this is Art Speak Radio, and so I ended up playing a little bit of incidental music by Al Hurt. It's Java, and I asked them if they knew what movie this music was from, or you could hear it, and it was Uncle Buck, but... Yeah, we did not get a winner, but we have a winner right here because Robert Castillo is here.
Hello.
Hello, my friend. He switches roles from musician to visual artist as he allows the universe to express itself through him. Now flowing from one style to another, Castillo chooses to spend his transient time exploring the many ways to connect his inner and outer experiences. So I'm so happy to have you here, Robert.
Hello. It's really nice to be here.
Well, you know, I am really excited, not only because you're here, but there's so much to talk about because you're a visual artist, a recent painter, newly created painter, and a musician. So you tell me where you want to start.
Yeah, so I suppose I can begin with the visual art.
Yeah.
That began last year when a friend of mine who curates the art at PT's Coffee in the Crossroads, he asked me, I'm not really entirely sure how he knew that I did visual art, but he asked me if I would be interested in putting on a show. And I asked him if he had December available because that would allow me the most time to prepare enough stuff for a show, and I was able to succeed in that. And I actually lined up another showing. My art is currently up at Artists and Craftsmen, the art store in the Crossroads. So that's been really wonderful, and I really feel as if I've unlocked some sort of... feeling that I've sincerely not felt before, even deeper perhaps than I have with music, which is interesting to think because I have felt very deeply with music.
Yeah, you know, I was in attendance at your artist talk and the performance at PT's, and I was very excited to hear what you said about being an artist, that really it was a pretty new sort of endeavor for you, right?
Yes. Yeah, to stick with a piece long enough to completion was much different than to stick with a piece of visual art for to completion was much different than completing any sort of musical composition that I had done before.
Yeah. Something that I saw at the most recent place that you're at, the Arts and Craft...
Artists and Craftsmen.
Yes. Gallery there that I didn't see at the last one was a musical score.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that just really excited me. I loved the... Not only just being able to see the music and the notes all together, but there's some sort of calligraphy about just using that lined paper with the graphs and everything. And I was just really mesmerized. I was very excited, trying to figure out how this all sounds together in my mind, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd had a professor, my composition instructor in college. He had very beautiful penmanship. His scores looked beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, of course, that, you know, the music should look beautiful, because it would just lend itself to sounding beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that we're going to hear a bit of music today from one of your groups, the Sextet, from the Blob Castle CD release. And do you want to talk a little bit about the Sextet?
Yeah, that is a group that kind of came together because there was a time in my life right after college when I was living in the mountains of Oregon, and I found myself with a lot of time. I found myself writing a lot of music for a ensemble with three horns. And then when I moved to Portland right after that, I had to form the group to play the music that I'd been writing, and then the Sextet has just continued on now and seems to be having a life of its own. It's continuing on its own momentum, which is really great.
Well, you've got some great musicians in that group. I know that you performed at the Record Bar for a KKFI function, which is where I was introduced to the group, a really very talented young group of folks. And... So I think in the green room you told me that you would be performing with that group on Friday at the Brick, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Yes, Friday at the Brick. I wrote down all my list of upcoming gigs just in case you
please.
Were to ask.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to ask. Go ahead, tell us.
Okay, well, this Friday I'm at the Brick with my group, the Sextet. On Sundays, including this one through February, I'm at the Green Lady Lounge with the Leslie McLean trio with Molly Hammer on vocals for a few of those.
Oh, great. We love Molly Hammer too.
Tuesday, I'm playing sousaphone in a Martin Luther King parade in Lawrence, and then I have a gig. I play with these vocal jazz choirs. We're playing at the Black Dolphin, I think, Tuesday evening. On the 29th, I'm playing with Mickey P. She's a great singer-songwriter. I believe that one's at the Rhino. And then on the 30th, I'm playing with Rewound, this classical string quartet at Savah.
Oh, man.
So those are that's upcoming this month. And I looked even into February, and February is even more busy. There's even more things going on.
Well, and because of that, do you want to share any of your social media or contact information for people who are more interested? Because, I mean, you listed all that. It's like, I'm going to go there. You know?
Yeah. So on Instagram, I am at blob_castle. That's the same name of the Sextet album. I have a website, robertcastillo.art. Email robert@robertcastillo.art.
You know, and I'll just say this about the body of work, that it is it's really varied in terms of the content and the sort of materials that you use. Mm. And are you experimenting, or do you have sort of like, are you kind of letting it take it where it wants you to go?
Are you a little bit of both. Uh-huh. I really believe in the importance of being open to whatever is being said to me, for lack of a better phrase. And I enjoy using a variety of different mediums or expressing in a variety of different ways, because they each inform one another, and I can learn so much about one from interacting with another. And I was noticing this yesterday. I recently started messing around with oil paints, and I was noticing that the more attention I gave, the more I was able to really devote my attention to creating this clean line, the more the line almost sort of liked it, enjoyed it, and decided to work with me. And that sort of attention is something that I've retroactively been able to recognize in music, composition, other things.
I love that. Yeah, I'm very excited, you know, for this, for your artwork and your music. And I think one sort of complements the other in ways that aren't always real evident to us, perhaps.
Yes, one form of complementing that I've been able to recognize is since I've started working with oil paint specifically over any of the other mediums, mm-hmm. is that I'm able to now distinguish clearly colors on my fretboard for specific notes. Like there's an F. The F mm-hmm. on the A string is a light pink or light orange. And it's interesting because my open A string is a black, whereas the A string, the A note, same octave on the E string is like a dark blue. It's very interesting to form these connections, and it's been able actually to help me in the passages that I've had to learn since oil painting. It's much easier for me to remember fingerings by associating the colors, but only specifically with oil paint.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. That's a great find.
Yes. Yes. That's true.
You know, we're going to have to take a real quick break. We've got some underwriting and all that kind of jazz that we have to play. And then we'll be right back with Valdemar Rivas and Stacy Bush, Waco Porter, and our lovely Robert Castillo. Stay tuned.
Support for KKFI is provided by Squeezebox Theater, a performance and event space at 1519 Oak Street in Kansas City's Crossroads District. Designed with producers and performers in mind, presenting music, including local artists and touring singer-songwriter showcases, variety shows, poetry, film, stage plays, improv, and more. Learn more about venue availability, upcoming events, and tickets at facebook.com/Squeezebox Theater.
On the next Sprouts.
Polar bears feast on the remains of bowhead whales on the edge of Beaufort Sea, while cultural anthropologist Richard Nelson describes their actions, explains their lives, humans' historical relationship to polar bears, and their chances of survival.
That's Sprouts, Thursday at noon.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, two takes at a movie currently playing in the Kansas City area. And today the topic is an Oscar-nominated foreign language film from Korea, and it's called Burning.
It's based on a short story called The Barn Burner. And I would say this is a very slow-paced, philosophical study of the concept of great hunger versus little hunger. The downside to this film is that many of the characters are just simply not engaging.
I guess that maybe is true to a degree, but, you know, this drama is a thriller, but it's mainly a character study. And it involves this young man whose girlfriend returns from an African trip with a rich, enigmatic stranger who disrupts their lives, and this guy is played by Steven Yeun, who's probably the only person in the movie that anyone will know. He's one of the stars of The Walking Dead. I felt that it was really effective, but it is a slow burn because it takes a while for it to sink its claws into you, but then ultimately it does.
It does, because I found myself thinking about these two concepts of little hunger and great hunger. And what that means is that if you want to know the meaning, the deep meaning of your life, that's the great hunger. The little hunger is if you want a Maserati. Mm-hmm. And that was the difficulty between this man who loves this woman.
I have to give this movie a lot of credit because it went places I didn't think it was going to go. It kept me guessing. And when you see a lot of movies and you think to yourself, I know exactly where this movie is headed. But in this case, I did not.
Right. I think if you're wanting to also see how do people live in South Korea, I found that to be fascinating.
Right.
So it's worth giving it a look.
I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
Hey, and I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and this is the third week that my voice is going crazy, all this respiratory stuff, but it doesn't matter because you're here, and we love that. This is Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Up next in the studio, we have our wonderful friend, Valdemar Rivas, who is a 2016 graduate of the Kansas City Art Institute and recently finished his part of Wall of Respect, which is a mural for the Inner Urban Art House in Overland Park and the Jewish Community Center. Now, he has some interesting projects in the pipeline. His work presently adorns the covers of Bubba Hotep, the comics prequel to the 2002 movie that featured Bruce Campbell as an old Elvis Presley fighting an ancient evil Egyptian deity. If you hadn't noticed, or you know, if you get a chance to online, you can take a look at Waldemar Rivas, who's featured in Artist to Watch, the November-December 2018 issue of KC Studio. Find that at kcstudio.org. Hello, friend.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You know, during all the underwriting that I had to air, I was taking photos of you all kind of swapping sketchbooks and showing each other what you're doing, and you're all just kind of all bent in there together, looking and examining and you know, having this discussion, and that's what we're all about today. So, yeah. Now, you came towards the end of last year, 2018, and catch us up where you've been since.
Oh, man, I just, I still can't talk about the projects that I've been working on.
Oh, man, all right, you can go now.
I know. I feel bad. I feel bad every single time people ask me.
Go ahead and write it down, and I'll just
I'll write
cryptically.
It down. They didn't say I couldn't write it down.
But we know, even though you've got this secret project, there's so much going on. You still continue to work from your studio and all that, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I do have, like, 4 ongoing projects.
Yeah. And can you talk about those?
I guess I could talk a little bit about it. I am currently working on a project with Cullen Bunn, who writes stuff for Marvel, and Kyle Strom, who's has books with Image. And our book got picked up by a publisher.
Oh, great. Congratulations.
Which publisher.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
And but it will be sold nationwide, hopefully.
And will you be a part of the Comic-Con? That's
oh yeah,
yeah.
So hopefully by Comic-Con,
yeah, we can talk about
I
that.
I have an announcement by then.
You know, it doesn't matter because you're such a joy. You're so talented that, you know, we love seeing your work. And I think, you know, your work is really well received. You know, having read the article, An Artist to Watch in kcstudio.org, that had to be a nice feather in your cap, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm always blushing with everyone praising me like this, but it means a lot. And I'm just glad people are receiving my work really well.
Yeah, and I know one of the things that you touched on when you were here last time, that you're the first to go to college in your family. And I think that's, you know, congratulations for you on that, because, you know, we just take it for granted that college is, you know, available to everybody, and that's just not the case, especially when you're from a Latino background, a working Latino background, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I made a mom. Yeah, it's pretty funny because I've talked a little bit about it, but I will say another, like, nail in the coffin where I'm like for sure gonna go to art school and like give this a go is when I moved up to the mountains and I took a break from a community college to work as a dishwasher at a ski resort. The first 10 minutes when I got there and I was washing dishes, I said, yeah, I'm gonna go to art school. Like, this, I don't want to do this.
yeah
the rest of my life.
Yeah, but, you know, I think, you know, having that strong work ethic and just knowing that, you know, I'm going to do this work, but I have goals. I have, you know, a future ahead of me that is something different. I think that's admirable, you know.
Thank you.
And, you know, speaking of admirable, one thing that I think you mentioned to me was Hot Hands. Hot Hands.
Yeah.
We can talk about Hot Hands.
Yes, I can.
Thank God. Finally something.
Hot Hands will be next week at the drugstore, which is they'll be selling everyone's artworks, a flat rate of 30 buckaroos. You can buy my art.
Yeah.
And, yep.
And the drugstore is located at the Old Cats drugstore on Main, just a couple of blocks south of us, maybe not even that far.
One block,
yeah. So you'll be there, and there's just probably, what, about 2 dozen or so artists, and
about
open
like
to
20,
the public.
30 artists, yeah. I think 30,
and
just
what,
rotating.
And what time does that start?
I believe it starts at 6 o'clock, $3 entry fee.
Do you want to hear a funny story about that?
Yeah.
The first time I went. I went early because it was cold and I was standing outside. I was cold and I was trying to get inside. And I was asked, are you with a food truck?
Whoa. Oh.
No, I wasn't. But I'll still come back.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway, we're talking to Valdemar Rivas, who is a 2016 graduate at the Kansas City Art Institute. Your work is very collectible and you know, as I mentioned, well-received, so we're happy to have you because you're originally from California, right?
Yes. I'm from the Central Valley, just where a lot of people that pick fruit, letters, yeah. Like agricultural, yeah. Like really big over there.
Yeah, yeah,
that's true. Yeah, I got spoiled. I can't really eat strawberries and oranges over here because they're not as fresh,
yeah,
which I do regret.
Yeah, well.
But what I do like about Hot Hands is it's just live drawing, so that's something I really like to do.
Yeah.
I sketch a lot on my sketchbooks. I fill about 4 a year.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to start keeping better track this year for sure. And I do want to sell copies of my sketchbook. And
I love that. Yeah.
It's something that I can talk about. And I have a lot of love to do. What I like to do is just fill out sketchbooks, just random ideas and doodles. And hopefully I can do an art show about this.
You know, I believe you can. And I find sketchbooks and preliminary drawings and even just going into an artist studio much more exciting. I hate to say this, much more exciting than seeing what's in a gallery space, because I like to look at what books you're reading, you know, sort of what colors you're choosing, the condition of your brushes, the smell, you know, the whole thing just this tells a story. And I think sketchbook is the same way. But yeah.
At a comic book shows, I have published work, but what I've noticed people really enjoying is my sketchbooks, because I like seeing their reactions, and what they want to see is just a lot of notes, a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
And I just have a lot of half-finished ideas and just playing around with composition, and I really enjoy people seeing the... taking their time processing.
Yeah. Kind of seeing the bones.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. You know, I want to mention that that Stacy Bush is sitting right next to Baltimore Vivas, and we went to introduce Stacy, and she is a multimedia artist, and she's, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, she's collaborating with choreographer, dancer Tiana Morton, and an Australian-based mixed media artist, Jade Swine.
Sweeney.
To present Mass, and that's happening later this month. Stacy, I'm so happy to meet you.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you very much.
You bet. So tell us about your work, because I just kind of met you through my beloved radio husband, Mark Manning.
Yay! Right. Well, as you said, I'm a multimedia artist. I collaborate a lot with dance. And my background is in composition. I moved to Kansas City to do my graduate degree here at the conservatory.
Where did you move from?
Michigan.
Okay.
And so I found a home here. I really appreciate the art scene here. I met my wonderful partner here, and so we started a nonprofit together, an arts nonprofit that does work different arts events for social causes. No Divide KC. So,
Well, tell us about Mass, because as I'm reading, I see that it was born out of your recent month-long journey at the Listus?
Yes.
Artist Residency in Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. How exciting was that?
It was incredible. It was an incredible experience. I adore Iceland. It's very dear to me, the culture and the environment. And I was there as a doing a kind of spiritual journey. It's very isolating and it's very stark. And it's a perfect kind of environment to be with the landscape and to contemplate, yourself. For me, kind of hone in on what my artistic voice is and how best to really tap into that and to be as honest with that as I can.
But it sounds really beautiful as I'm reading. Mass elicits feelings of reverence as well as intense breadth and depth. And so the project is designed using four spiritual pillars, right?
Yes. From the Bhagavad Gita, which is a yogic Hindu text, the biggest text there. And so there's kind of these spiritual pillars. The first one is look to your calling. These are roughly translated into English. The second one is do it full out. The third one is let go of the fruits. And the fourth one is turn it over to God. And so I was thinking about this, and I found that those four pillars kind of turned into this really powerful narrative of spiritual discovery. And so that's the structure for the music composition for the whole evening length piece. And that's also what Jade is going. She has different visual pieces that correlate to those pillars.
Wow. This sounds very ambitious. And tell us when it will take place and where, all the details if you could.
Yes, it was supposed to take place this weekend on Saturday, but due to an impending winter storm, we've decided to postpone it to Saturday, February 9th, and it's going to be at MTH Theater, which is in Crown Center. My website is my name, stacybush.com, and so there's more information about ticketing and everything there on Facebook.
Yeah, I was going to ask, and on Facebook too, right? So this is really going to be music and dance performance and just coming out of the month-long journey at the artist residency in Northern Ireland, right?
Iceland, yeah.
Oh, I've got Iceland. Iceland, duh. Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. No, that sounds terrific. And the music you've created yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
And what music? What instruments do you play as a musician?
I've trained as a pianist, but I've really kind of shifted over into electronic media, electronic music. So most of my music is actually based on vocal layerings and vocal textures, and so I perform live electronic music.
Wow. You know, I want, of course, you're always welcome to come back, but when you come back, let's get some music from you, should we?
Yes. Yeah, well, I love that. It will be released as a as an EP later.
Okay.
So
oh, great.
Yeah,
that sounds great. And for more information can be found on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook. There's an event on Facebook. Again, my website has information. My Instagram is ST10ACY. So.
Now, do you have any other artist residencies coming up aside from this past one, or?
I don't have any residencies because it's hard to take the time out to do that.
Yeah.
But I do have quite a few projects in the works, similar to my friend here. I actually can't disclose.
Oh, another one. Oh, you people, you're killing me.
No, I would love to. There's some exciting things with drag queens.
So, Rick Thomas, where are you?
Yeah. But yeah. So.
Well, and drag king, our friend Boris, Boris to death.
Yeah.
He's been on the show before. I got to get him back on.
Yeah. I saw, Drag Survivor. I went to see the final and it was wonderful.
So. Beautiful. You know, we're going to take a real quick break. I've got some more underwriting to air, and then we're going to be back with all four of our guests, Waco, Waldemar, Robert, and Stacy. We're going to be talking to you about art. Stay tuned.
This week on the Heartland Labor Forum, we'll have another in our series of talks with candidates for mayor of Kansas City. We want to ask each of them their plan to make KC a city that works for its working people, where they can find employment, afford to live, and have real community. We'll also ask about TIF and child care. Tune in Thursday at 6 p.m., rebroadcast Friday, 5 a.m.
Women, war, and WikiLeaks. Wings, Saturday at 2:30.
And this is Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. Thanks so much for tuning in. And we're going to open it up with our beautiful guest. We're going to talk about art. Oh, wait. Can you all talk about art? Because some of you already said, oh, I don't know about that yet. No, I'm just playing with you. But, you know, I'm going to ask some general questions, and whoever wants to respond, something that you probably have been asked before, but when did you know you were an artist? When did you know you that's what you needed to do, what you had to do?
Voices in my head. And so, you know, yeah. They talk to you, and so yeah. You have to give them an outlet.
Yeah.
And so paper allows me to give voice to the voices, so to speak.
So your voice just said, you know, Waco, this is what you need to be doing. How? I mean, was it like that? Or
just for instance, I give you just something that I've worked with mentally. Uh-huh. Coming out of the library, and there's a woman sitting on a bench reading to a child. I don't know if it's the mother or the grandmother, but they're reading. It's autumn. The leaves are beautiful. The wind kicks up. Kind of pushes the leaves around, so you hear that sound. Mm-hmm, She pulls the child closer and keeps reading. Now, picture that. Mm-hmm. Now, how many different things can you come up with just from that? And so, things like that just happen.
Yeah.
And so, I have to write it down.
You know, that's really beautiful, and I did write it down, and that's my next poem that's going to be published.
You know, it could be a story.
But,
you
I mean,
know,
it does happen like that,
yeah,
doesn't it?
So you can give them a story.
Yeah.
You can give them, like, the best life or the worst life. You can give them the best conditions or the worst conditions, and they can triumph or they can fail.
Mm,
and
mm-hmm.
so, but it's just things like that.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah.
I had a period of time when I was not mentally sound, and there was a saxophone solo that I listened to that completely changed my being, my understanding of myself, and because I was able to feel that, I felt something from that saxophone solo. I felt that that person was able to feel, had felt something that I was feeling, and knowing that someone else had felt the same thing was so comforting. That's when I realized that I had to do the same, to just... Maybe that's why I create in so many different ways, to just kind of spread out to see how many people can feel comforted by knowing that I have felt the same way they may have.
Well, that's cool. And for you, Robert, you know, being trained as a musician, classical musician, and on all, you just recently came to the table as an artist, as a visual artist. So was it the same that you felt about that you did with music?
That one is different. There's this artist, Vasily Kandinsky. He was, my favorite works of his were from the 1920s, 30s. Yeah. I feel so happy when I see his work that I have to do the same thing. Not the same thing, but things that makes me feel the same way. And that's where that is coming from.
Yeah.
I just like communicating. I'm not that good at talking, but art is for me visual communication, and it's the best way for me to get my ideas and my feelings across, mostly how I feel. And when I see people really picking it up, I knew that's what I wanted to do. I just want to move people, I felt that people were being moved, and this is what I want to do, you know. And if I could pay rent, you know.
No doubt.
Yeah, and Stacey?
Yeah, actually, I don't have a musical upbringing. I was a competitive athlete growing up, and so I have no idea how I ended up being an artist.
But isn't there an art to that when you trained as a competitive athlete? I mean,
what
there's
sport? What'd you do?
Yeah.
I was a soccer player, and I was actually, you know, offered to be a professional soccer player when I was 16, and so that was really my existence. So I'm totally baffled that this is what I'm doing, although, but the other piece is that, you know, after that I, you know, struggle with addiction, and so I'm sober now. I got sober when I was 22, and that's a huge that is me as an artist, is me living in recovery, and me as a sober individual, that is where my art is really grounded.
Well, congratulations to you for that, and for your honesty, because I think it's not easily to admit, you know, that we're not perfect, you know, so thank you for that.
Yeah, I'm very, most people who know me, I'm not very, I'm very open about that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think one of the reasons why I asked that question is because a lot of times people don't really have a one-on-one conversation with artists because they're sort of like these rare creatures, these sort of unicorns out there in the community. And it's so, sometimes it's a little difficult to approach people and ask them questions, you know.
Go ahead. That's interesting. That reminds me of something I've been thinking about recently. Of someone asked me, "How do you have so much talent?" or something like this. As if I was one of those. How do you phrase it? Magical creature.
In
the woods or something. Yeah. I sincerely don't feel like I have anything special. I just think that I have the patience and the patience to pay attention to what needs to be done or said. And I really sincerely believe everyone has that capacity to just still themselves and pay attention, and then you can do anything you want.
But do you think we take it for granted, and that, you know, the expectation, well, everyone has this. I mean, do you think we've just lived this for so long that it's just sort of normal?
Maybe it's that, maybe it could be like that hustle and bustle of daily life, and not taking the chance to like pump your brakes, you know, and listen to the voice or the music or whatever it is. And then, man, at the same time, like, I'm a hermit by nature.
Yeah.
So it's nothing for me to be in, at home all day. That's why I have to force myself to go outside.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like you're alone by yourself, but that's where the ideas kind of formulate.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing?
And I think with Robert, I think there's also, with that statement that you made, there's also that sense of humility. That, you know, and I find that endearing. I think it's, you know, sometimes the ego can just be so much, and I value that, you know, so.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What you gotta say? Come on now.
I think artists, I think anyone can be an artist, and if you just want to draw and like make music, go for it, you know, like it's just creativity, I feel, and ideas that you want to pass along. And I feel like a lot of artists just want to connect with people, and I love talking to people. I'm a pretty shy dude, but you know, I like to get out of my comfort zone and talk to people. I just don't want to be stuck in a little small bubble, you know. I want to experience everything, you know. And I think that,
I like that. You know, something that occurred to me as I was getting ready for this program today, one thing that I wanted to ask was, do artists have a sort of responsibility to address social, you know, social commentary and social responses and response to things that are happening in the world? Do you have a responsibility to something outside of yourself?
I think you make a choice.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just like anybody. And so you either choose to speak on it or you choose not to. And so I think it's just, maybe if you feel like you could use your medium to speak to a certain issue, and are you confident enough in the message that you're putting out using that medium to get that point across? And so it's just, it's a leap. You know, I think it's a leap. And so are you willing to take that leap, you know? And so, and it may be out of your comfort zone. Like, I don't do a lot of political stuff. You know, when you're, you know, drawing pictures, do you draw political issues or social issues or like that? Are you just drawing the characters that you see? And maybe it is and maybe it's not, but it's, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I feel like I have to, being a Mexican and what's going on at the moment. I feel like there's a lot of injustice going on right now that I have to speak up. I personally try not to do it as much, but to be fair, I got into journalism and I started doing editorial work, so it's just something that I like to get my point across. I've been a bit quiet at this moment. I like to be well educated before I draw something, because it's an idea, it's a piece of art that will get dissected, so I just want to make sure that I'm educated enough when I tackle a political issue. But stay tuned.
I think as artists, for me personally, I think it's a duty to be forward thinking, and to be a community leader. And I don't think your work necessarily has to be politically fueled, but I think there shouldn't be a separation between the artist and the art, and so we need to be held accountable. I think that's what you're seeing, and, you know, things like the Me Too movement and stuff like that, you know, it really begs this question of, do we separate the art from the artist? You know, I won't name any names, but these people, do we appreciate their art now knowing what they've done? And personally, I don't think, I think that I want to be accountable as a person, and I don't want to be hypocritical in that way. And so that's how I think we can push that.
Yeah. Yeah. And Robert, did you have something to add to that?
I'm not entirely sure that I feel a specific duty to say something political. I do feel at times a duty to say things specifically. For instance, there's a series I did of paintings of Mayan figures from the classic period around 900 AD, and I really felt that it was important to bring those to the forefront of attention because, as Belvedere was saying, that there are a lot of there's a lot of discussion around Latino folk, and that often that can be negative. And so I wanted to bring those to the forefront of today's awareness to remind everyone that Latin American culture is very deep, very rich. There's a lot of knowledge and wisdom that is covered underneath all of these, the way we think about Latino people today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do have poems I've written about with, it's called My World, and it's just thinking about the different black males that have been, you know, shot by police. And so, and it's just, and it's something that I think about a lot. And my wife and I talk about that a lot because she worries about me when I'm away from home. And so it's something that I can't get away from. And so I didn't force myself to write those poems, you know, and it just, they wrote themselves just because that was emotion that I was really feeling. And so, and I have shared them like at open mic. So, that, you know, because some things you just, that are written are too personal and they're kept at home, but those I shared it, but it's just a feeling that I can't shake and get away from. And it's just, it's on my mind.
You know, and that brings me to something that is, you know, too personal is your work. Do you feel sometimes as artists that there's just some boundaries that you have to have between your work, your beliefs, your art, and, you know, your opinions? I mean, does that come to play in your career as an artist, as a musician, as a creator?
At this point of my career, I say that I'm all in. This is who I am. This is my beliefs. You could either like it or not. I just put all my dice on the, all my cards on the table, and that's how I view it personally.
I feel that with composition, with music, I'm able to more freely and openly express what I feel because there is that abstraction of instrumental music. So you don't know exactly what I'm feeling, but I'm certainly saying, being completely vulnerable. Whereas with visual art, the boundaries that I may have presented for myself or that I'm seeing are mainly there due to lack of time, and as I continue to develop mm-hmm. and evolve, then I will move beyond those boundaries.
Well, I certainly like to provoke.
Yeah. Provoke is good.
But not in a pushy way. I really care a lot about, you know, the way that we handle that, the way that I handle that. Yeah. And I think a lot about that in my work and how not to be, you know, very heavy-handed. And how to kind of point the finger back at myself so that we're all kind of in this together.
Yeah.
But provocation for me is really important.
I like that. You know, we've got just a few minutes, and I want to thank Waco Porter, Robert Castillo, Valdemar Rivas, Stacy Bush. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing with us. You know, this is just the tip of the iceberg. In fact, I didn't even get to play Robert's music, but we'll play it on the way out. I invite you back. We'll have another discussion, and it will be all about art with... Now that we all know one another, and so thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.
And next week, January 23rd, we've got Dan Hadley and the Historical and Interpretive Program, people that will be on tap next week. Stay tuned for Jeff Harshberger.